Well, today is the conclusion of our sermon series going through 1 John. We are in chapter 5, verses 13 through 21. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of Him. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will give him life. To those who commit sins that do not lead to death, there is sin that leads to death. I do not say that one should pray for that. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is sin that does not lead to death. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who has been born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. The word of the Lord, thanks be to God. Heavenly Father, as we continue our walk through 1 John, really as we complete it, we pray that your work through it is not incomplete in us, that it would continue, that you would continue to move and work in us, that we would be ever changing, ever growing, drawing closer to you and looking more and more like you, that we would be filled with those fruits of the Spirit, that we would reflect you. Help us to chase after you. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen. So, for those, if you have not been here for the previous sermons in this sermon series and you're thinking, well, great, I showed up at the end, it's okay, because this is really the summary of a lot of the things that John has been talking about up until this point. And so if you've missed all of the sermons leading up to this point, that's okay, because it's the summary, right? John identified that we are all sinners, that sin exists in all of our lives, that we are in desperate need of a Savior, and that we are supposed to look more and more like Him, that there is evidence of our salvation because of the sin being removed from our lives, that we are to sin less and love more, that it's about trajectory, that our lives are continuously to look more like Christ, and that we are to do so in such a way that the world around us is invited into that relationship with God, that through how we interact with the world around us, that we lead others into knowledge of Christ. So in these verses, John gives us a list of six things. There's three of them in verses 13 through 15 and three in verses 18 through 21. Eternal life, confidence, answered prayer, right attitude towards sin, our divine spiritual origin, and that Jesus is true God. All of these things, what do they have in common? Well, the common thread of these things are that they are things that every Christian should know and possess. The things that we should know and possess. And so the first three in verses 13 through 15 are the things that we already have, what we possess. The first is eternal life. That as followers of Jesus Christ, even now, we have been gifted with eternal life. That it is more than a hope, more than a promise. It is an actuality. It's a right now. It's a right now and a not yet, because we have not realized the fullness of it. But Jesus says, as you follow after me, this is something that I have already given to you. It's yours. Take it. Something that we already have is confidence. Confidence in God. We have confidence in Him. We have confidence in our salvation. And our confidence is drawn upon the fact of how He has moved and worked through history and in our lives. And in confidence, we go to Him in prayer. Because the third thing that we have is answered prayer. And so when we pray in such a way, not as if God might answer, but believing that He will answer. And this is difficult for us sometimes because God does not always answer in the time frame or in the manner in which we want Him to answer. My kids ask me 1.3 billion questions a day. And I try to respond to them all, but sometimes I ignore them on purpose because I'm done answering questions for today. But I hear them. Sometimes my answer to their questions is not yet, not right now. Sometimes it's no, that's not the best thing for you. You may not have candy for breakfast. Sometimes it's a yeah, like sure. Have a popsicle. Go for it. Have three. I don't care. They're cheap. And God, in the same way, He responds to our prayers. Sometimes it's the not yet. Sometimes it's no. And other times it is yes. But we have confidence because we know that He answers prayer. And when He says something is going to happen, it happens. Now, we question sometimes our eternal life, thinking that we can somehow lose it because we mess up. Well, as Sarah said, you know, it's pretty early in the day, and we have already messed up, all of us. Whether it's big or whether it's small or big, at some level, all of us have messed up. But we have confidence, not because of us and our ability, but because of who God says that He is. That He is, He does not fail. He does not make mistakes. And so if He says, I have chosen you, you are now my child, and I have given you eternal life, no one can take that from you. There is nothing that you can do, nothing that the world can do to you, nothing that Satan can do to you to remove what God has given to you, because He is God. He is all-powerful, and He holds creation in the palm of His hand. And He says, have confidence, because I have proven myself to you over and over again. You have confidence that He says that I will continue to do that. And so those are the three things that we have already. And then there are three things that we are to know as Christians. The first is that we are to know or to have a right attitude towards sin. That yes, we are all sinners, but not to become okay with that. That we don't become comfortable in our sin because we somehow justify it by, well, everyone sins, or that we are, you know, just humans. No, we are on that trajectory towards removing sin from our lives. And we recognize like that we are living in a world, in a life right now, where that's probably not going to happen until we get to eternity. But it's that trajectory. That's the goal that we are moving towards, that we have less and less sin in our lives. So this right attitude towards sin. That we know that we have a divine spiritual origin. Or so in other words, it's saying that we have been born again. That we are new creations. That when Jesus Christ comes into our lives and we are called to be His disciples and we become sons and daughters of God, we are granted a new life where the old falls away, where the sin is being removed from us and we begin to look more and more like Christ. That we have a divine origin, that we are moving forward, that we are progressing, that we look more and more like Christ. And because of that divine origin, because we have been born again, because we have the hands of God actively working in our lives, because we have the power of the Holy Spirit behind us, then we begin to see the victories and the successes of the God who has given us new life. And through us, He moves and works, and we get a taste of the glory of God because we are His children. And to trust that Jesus is the true God. That's the third thing that we are to know, that Jesus is the true God. John concludes this passage with kind of an interesting, it seems almost out of place, verse 21, where he says, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." It seems almost like he's just kind of throwing that in at the end. But what he's talking about is making Jesus the number one priority in your life, not having anything else. And it's something that we've talked about here before, that most of us, or I think all of us, probably do not have little gold statues that we pray to in our homes, but we frequently have things that take priority in our life, things that draw our attention away from Jesus, away from God, things that consume our lives in such a way that they are distracting us from allowing Jesus to be the priority. And frequently, they're good things. Like, we should be concerned about how we're spending our money and our finances. We should be concerned about our health. We should. It's okay and it's fun to be involved in sporting teams or to be a fan of a sporting team, to become, or your family. All these things can be wonderful things, but they can quickly become idols if we allow them to take priority over Jesus. Jesus says, have those things, but have me first. And live in all of those things through me. Allow me to be your guide, your direction. Make me number one. And so, friends, the Creator of the universe, the God who holds all of creation, the infinitely expanding universe, it's massive. He holds all of that in the palm of His hands. He very literally breathed it out. That massive, powerful, I can conquer anything God also wants a very deep and intimate and personal relationship with you. And so we have the Creator of the universe who is capable of holding all of creation in His hands. And yet He wants to have a relationship with you where it is embracing you in a big fatherly hug type of relationship. And He says, come to me. Talk to me. I hear your prayers. Keep them coming. The 1.3 billion questions that you might ask of Him a day. And He says, I have an answer for all of them. I will respond. look at my history. Look at how I have moved and worked from the beginning, from the garden, how I moved and worked throughout the Old Testament. Think about how I have moved and worked in your life, where I have brought you from and where you are now, and have confidence that I am going to continue to move and work in your life in such a way that no one will ever be able to draw you away from me until you are finally and truly at home with me. He promises us eternal life, that one day we will be with him. And so we live in a world full of uncertainty, unanswered questions. Things are constantly changing, where one day one thing is something, and the next day it is something else. People come in and out of our lives. It's a world full of change, uncertainty, chaos. And God says, in the midst of that, don't let yourself get distracted. Don't let yourself get drawn away, because that is not who I am. I am a God of certainty. I am a God of promise. And I will deliver you from all of this swirly, stormy sea that you're in. And not only that, but one day I will calm that storm. That I will restore everything to the way it is supposed to be. And friends, I find that to be good news. I find it to be really good news. Good news worth sharing. To go out and tell people about the God who loves them, intimately, personally loves them, and is big enough to move and work and create change, not only in their lives, but in the whole world. That is good news. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you that you have called me, that you have called us, that we can be called your sons and daughters. What a gift that is. I pray that you would help us to continue to move toward a deeper understanding of what that means. To really understand how you love us. Keep on teaching us. Keep on drawing us close. And help us to share that love with the people around us. And we pray these things in your Son's holy name. Amen. So I have a few announcements for you. Last week, I invited you all to fill out one of these sheets. It says, what are some of the most important milestones in the history of Grace Community Fellowship? If you would be so willing to do that, maybe these are stories of things for us as a whole church. Maybe it's something that happened with you and your family in this church. But one of the things we're trying to do right now is just create a timeline of Grace Community Fellowship, a history of such. But looking at how has God moved and worked in Grace Community and Fellowship over the years. And we're doing that in such a way that we might then look towards the future. So how can we, you know, look towards our past? How can we see the evidence of God moving and working and have that give us confidence that he's directing us forward as well? So if you would do that, there's some on this table right out here. I think there's some on the tables outside as well. That would be fantastic. Something to have on your calendars coming up on Saturday, August 3rd, is the Unity Festival. This is hosted by the United Way of Franklin County. And they invite all of the nonprofits, churches, organizations working with people. And it's fun. It's an opportunity for people to come and find out about resources in our community. The Ministerial Association is going to be providing a meal that day. So here in the next couple of days, there will be a sign-up genius that goes out because I don't really know how to do that. And Salisa's been busy packing us, and so she's going to create it as we're driving today and send it to Tommy, and then Tommy's going to send it to you. So if you would be inclined. So we have all of the hot dogs were donated to us by Hope House, but there's things like chips and bottled water that you can sign up for, or if you would like to volunteer for them. With that, that's a reminder that my family is going to be leaving on vacation, hopefully, in like the next couple of hours, because we're driving a long ways today, because we're crazy. But we are going to be gone for the next two Sundays. I shared with you last Sunday that if you need something from the church, the best place, the first place would be to contact the church office, that Tommy would be able to get you a hold of either an elder or a deacon, or to be able to answer your questions. If you really need to get a hold of me, I shared last Sunday that we may or may not have great cell phone service. So if it's something that you feel is important, send me a text message if you can, and then I can respond to it as we might have cell phone service. And so if I don't respond immediately, please don't take it personally. We are going to try as a family to kind of just step back, enjoy one another, and invest in one another with the hope that we are refreshed and ready to go when we get back. In August, we're going to be launching into a brand new sermon series on the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to be doing some fun things as a church. We're going to be starting back up with Children's Church. WOW is going to kick back off. And so it will be good for me, I know personally, to have just a moment to breathe and then launch into those things. Are there any announcements that I'm missing? Okay, let's continue to worship the Lord together.